Good morning.
Good morning.
Is that really loud?
No,
it's okay. I just wanted to take a couple minutes this morning before the service started. I don't know if all of you have heard, but today is my last day, tomorrow actually, being the family director at Bethesda. And I'm just as nervous getting up in front of you as I was the first time I did. But I wanted to let you know how important and how special you are to me and my family. And I wanted to leave this as a gift for you, that in some way maybe it would touch you in even a fraction of the way that you have touched my life. So I wanted to encourage you because our youth are very precious and they've been entrusted to us. And God said, take care of my children. And I know that you will, okay? Because youth ministry doesn't revolve around me. It doesn't revolve around having a youth director. It's happening in these pews, and it's happening in these hallways. And there are many ways that you are doing faith works with these youth that you might not even recognize. And so I just wanted to point out a few of the ways in the last year that you have impacted our youth. So, and I think that you guys can read this okay. If you can't, I'll read it for you. But sharing faith does not require a seminary education. It's not necessarily a huge time commitment. It happens in passing a lot of times. You don't need to know the Bible inside and out. I recommend that you spend some time in it. But you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to be young. You don't have to have a perfect faith. You can have doubts. You can have questions. And it's okay to say, I don't know. Let's dig into this a little further. But out of Deuteronomy, God tells us that we should impress his commandments on our children and talk about them when we're sitting at home. We should be talking about them in every aspect of our daily life. It doesn't just have to happen on Sunday mornings. And here are some ways that you can impress faith upon our children. I have noticed that there are so many of you throughout the time that I've spent here that have taken those moments and utilized them for God's glory. And it happens so quickly, and you don't even realize it. And you might not necessarily have regularly volunteered with the youth, but I noticed, and they noticed. So thank you for allowing me to share that with you. Thank you for sharing your lives with me. And I pray that you continue to share your lives with the youth that are around you because we have a treasure in our congregation. Thanks.
Welcome to church this morning. My name is Pat Becker, and we might still have a little problem with this. Anyway, Pastor is at Synod Conference this morning or this weekend, so I'm here to greet you. You have the announcements on the back of your bulletin, and a couple of them that I'd like to highlight here will be, I see that golf is going to start tomorrow morning, provided it's not raining or whatever, I suppose. Okay, and then I see that the foot clinic is going to be held this week on May 3rd. So that's Patty Honnell. So she'll be here at the second service, so we certainly welcome her and that she's feeling better. Let's begin our service with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the rains that have fallen during the week to nourish your woods and your flowers and your soil. Help us and open our hearts this morning so that you may nourish our souls and our hearts, so that we may see you in each of the children that we meet each day. We bless and we ask your blessings on Susie as she moves forward in her journey of life. And we thank her for the love and support that she's given her children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. During the last stanza of the hymn on 836, please stand. Confession and forgiveness is found in page 4 of your bulletin. Let us confess before God and those present our sins against God and others. Have mercy upon us, O God, for having abused the power of prayer, for using it so often to ask for things for ourselves and not using it to express our gratitude. Forgive us for being selfish and forgetting to pray for those in need of healing. Pardon us wherein we are carrying larger burdens than necessary, because we have relied upon your own weak strength instead of seeking your power through prayer. Forgive us and renew us in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Holy Spirit strengthen and lead us as we live our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's repeat the prayer of the day. Living God, today we pray for our brothers and sisters who are in need of your healing, whether it be of body, mind, or spirit. Grant comfort and suffering to all who are in need of healing. And when they are afraid, give them courage. When afflicted, give them patience. And when dejected, give them hope. And when alone, assure them of the support of their brothers and sisters in Christ. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated, and we'll have special music.
The special music today is Blessed Be Your Name, and we chose it for a couple of reasons. Today, because as we come to the healing service, we want to thank God for the many blessings that he's given us. We want to receive a blessing so that we might be a blessing to others and to celebrate Christ's healing in our lives. Blessed Be Your Name is based on the story of Job, who endured much suffering in his life. Even though he lost his possessions, his livestock, his family, and health, he was able to say, he gives and takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Job 5:9, it says, God performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted. We all are in need of healing, whether it's physical, emotional, or spiritual, and God can bring us that healing. All we need to do is ask. So that was the first reason we thought it fit in well with that. The second is because of Susie. She sang this song with the praise choir out in the garden as a soul. And we welcome Pat back with us today. And a lot of you know the song, so the words are in here. Thank you.
Thank you, Praise Choir. We'll miss you, Susie. First reading is from Acts chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. Peter and John had been arrested the previous day because they were proclaiming the news of the resurrection to the people. In today's reading, Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit so that he is able to proclaim salvation in Jesus' name to the religious authorities. The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who is sick and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." The psalm today is Psalm 23. Please respond in the bold print. Where you see the bold R, please use the refrain, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want.
The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters.
You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over.
Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The gospel today is found in the 10th chapter of John, verses 11 through 18 and verse 27. In language that recalls the 23rd Psalm, Jesus describes himself as the shepherd who cares for his sheep. He is willing to die for them, and he is able to overcome death for them. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong in this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and the hymn is 673, and we'll sing verse 1, 3, and 4.
Thank you.
couple of questions for you this morning. On a scale of 1 to 10, how good a listener are you? How good a listener am I? Some of us remember a person's name after we're introduced, but if you're like me, I kind of go away and I say, was it Sally or was it Susie? I'm not always a very good listener. And then some of us are hard of hearing. And our spouse may talk to us and we hear something totally different than what they said.
That's just selective hearing.
That's selective hearing. And then there are others of us that kind of hear only what we want to hear. The second question, on a scale of 1 to 10, how good are you and I at listening to Jesus? Maybe a little bit more difficult, huh? But I think the questions even get harder. On a scale of 1 to 10, how good are you and I at following Jesus? Jesus tells us in the gospel today, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I think it's important to know that there's a couple of action words in here. First of all, there's listening, and then knowing, and then following. You see, I think that if we are to be Christians and followers of Christ, we can't be passive. There's no sitting on the sidelines while others are doing the work of Christ. In the Old Testament, God talked to all kinds of people, and he talked to them in a variety of ways. And some listened and some didn't. In the Garden of Eden, God conversed with Adam and Eve. They listened, but you know how that story ended out. And then God spoke to Noah, and he gave him specific instructions on the hows and whys of building an ark. Then God spoke to Abraham, and he told Abraham these words: leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. Wow, could you and I do that? Could we leave our families? Could we leave our homes? I think missionaries do. And then God spoke to Moses through a burning bush. And he spoke to Joseph in a dream, and he spoke to so many of the prophets of the Old Testament. And when the Lord spoke, some listened and did absolutely nothing. Some listened and they followed, sometimes even to their death. They gave their lives. Some were granted wisdom, like Solomon, and others riches, and still others, like Job, were tested to see how great their faith. And then, in 1 Samuel chapter 3, we read these words. In those days, the Lord hardly spoke. He did not appear to them. What was that about? Did God give up? Maybe God seemed kind of tired of speaking because nobody was listening anymore. And sometimes I think that maybe that verse is good for today too. Did God just shake his head sometimes at what was happening down here? Because nobody was listening, or very few.
And maybe he said, what am I going to do? Is that why he sent a son? Was God thinking, maybe my people will listen to my son? Do we listen to God's son? My sheep hear my voice, and they follow. And then in the New Testament, we have Jesus calling the disciples. Here comes a man that the disciples certainly must have heard about. They must have heard him speak along the shores of the Sea of Galilee. But you wonder kind of what was on their minds when they heard Jesus preach. And the book of Matthew says, Jesus is walking beside the Sea of Galilee, and he sees two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. And they're casting a net into the lake because they're fishermen. And Jesus says, come, follow me. And at once they leave their nets and they follow. There's no question here. And then later on, Jesus sees James and his brother John, and they're in a boat with their father. And Jesus calls them, and they leave their boat, they leave their father, and they follow. And as Pastor Jim sometimes says in his Bible studies, what is that about? Not easy. But I don't think Jesus is asking everyone to leave their homes or their families. But I do believe that if we call ourselves disciples of Christ, then I do believe that he calls each of us, every single one of us, in different ways to follow his example. And the Bible doesn't say anything about it being easy. When I was in Israel in January, I want to share this special story with you. I met a very special person, and he told us his story of faith, of how Jesus speaks to him every day. I like to think of him as a modern-day disciple walking the roads of Galilee, because he does. He follows in the footsteps of his Lord. And he humbly recognizes that Jesus was the Christ. And he calls Jesus his companion. His name is Elias Shakur. He is the Archbishop of Galilee. He's a Palestinian, an Arab, a Christian, and also a citizen of Israel. And believe me, being that combination is one of the most difficult things on earth. When he was 8 years old, his village was destroyed by the Israeli military in 1948. Thousands of people were killed, and men and older boys were taken away. Elias said that his mother would pray a simple prayer every night. And the prayer went like this. Let our lips bring the peace of your spirit. As refugees in their own homeland, they had lost absolutely everything. They lived in caves and under the olive trees and olive orchards and wherever they could find a place. And one day, Shakur remembers sitting in the olive grove and praying to his champion Jesus. And he prayed this simple prayer. Oh God, can't you just bring peace again? Peace to my home? You can use my hands and my feet, Lord. You can even use my tongue.
Jesus spoke, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." Elias heard those words, and he followed. And he would begin a journey that would forever become his life's work. Today, Shakur works for those who are oppressed and suffering. He works for dignity and respect, for justice and reconciliation amongst the diverse people, both Jew and Muslim and Christian. He has been nominated 3 times for the Nobel Peace Prize. In 1995, he established the Mar Elias University. It is the only non-Jewish college in Israel, and it has close to 5,000 students, Christian, Muslim, and Jew, with a staff as diverse as the students that they teach. Because Elias Shakur believes that on these school benches, where people work side by side, that peace is being built, one heart and one soul at a time. Someone once asked Shakur, "Elias, at the end of the day, this college must be your life's work." But Shakur replied, "No. My life's work is first and foremost Jesus Christ himself. I see him in every Muslim, in every Palestinian, in every Palestinian Christian, and in every Israeli Jew. My life's work is to win their hearts, to bring a smile to their faces, and to wipe away at least one of their tears. This is my life's work." You see, the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God," remained with Elias from the age of 9 until today, and he is 72. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." We, like Elias, are disciples of Christ. We too are the sheep of Jesus' flock, and he knows each of us by name. He speaks to us through the words of the Bible. He speaks sometimes to us through the lives of those around us, especially when we hear the faith stories of others. And for some, Jesus speaks in an ever so quiet voice, and he tells us that he loves us, that we should never be afraid. And he tells us to take up our yoke and to follow. What is the voice of Jesus calling us to do this week? You and I. May we open our hearts to him this week. May we listen to his voice. And it may be very quiet sometimes, but he is asking us to follow. May we follow in the footsteps of our Lord. Amen. Our hymn has been changed. We are going to sing the first and third verses of hymn 576. 576, and the ushers will take the offering during the hymn.
Thank you.
say the prayer, offering prayer together. God, giver of every good and perfect gift, we thank you for the daily blessings of life. May these gifts bring hope and healing to a world in need. Amen. A part of our work as a congregation is to pray for the sick. Prayer for the sick is an important Christian discipline and a biblical injunction. We want it to be a part of our worship program. And a theology of wholeness and wellness, however, also would include a work of thanksgiving and support for those who are healthy and are seeking to be good stewards of all God's blessings. Teach us, O God, how to walk in paths of holiness and hope.
Help us to care for those among us who are sick, and to challenge those who are well, to embrace the fullness and vigor of life that you bring.
Let those who are lonely or sorrowing be comforted and called back into community.
Let those who are depressed or suffering from mental anguish be helped through compassion, care, and support.
Let those who are facing illness of body be encouraged and assisted as they seek to recover or be released from their pain.
Let those who are healthy celebrate with joy.
Let those of us who are able honor your creation through thankful enjoyment of nutritious food, clean air and water, and vigorous exercise.
Let us rejoice in the splendid variety of your creation.
Help us to be a healthy and healing congregation, O God. A place where all are free to live fully in body, mind, and spirit. This we pray in your precious name. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, Darlene will give an introduction to the healing service.
During this quiet time, you have a chance to do a few different things. Like you to just pray for your loved ones, for yourself, for friends, any concerns that you have. You can come up and receive a blessing from either Kathy or I. The custom of giving a blessing goes back to the earliest of times. In the creation story, God blessed the living creatures after he created them. And throughout the Bible, God gives blessings to his people. Today, as children of God, we also are in need of receiving God's blessings. To be blessed means to be favored by God. When you come forward and receive a blessing, it's bestowing a wish on you that you will experience the favor of God. And the use of the oils reminds us of our baptism. You can come and light a candle, and when you light the candle, please start from the back, and then put it in the back so that you're not reaching over the flames. You have slips of paper. You can write a written prayer request and put it in the basket, and those will be prayed later. Or if you have a specific prayer request that you would like Kathy or I to pray for, just tell us that, and we'll do it at the time you get the blessing.
Stand for the Lord's
prayer.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ fill you with every spiritual blessing. Amen. May the God of faithfulness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus.
Amen.
May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope in the power of the Holy Spirit. May the Lord walk beside you to comfort you. May the Lord walk above you to watch over you. And may the Lord walk behind you to keep you safe. And may the Lord walk before you to show you the way. We're going to sing the first stanza of God Be With You Till We Meet Again, and then we'll have the stewardship report, and then we'll close with the third verse of the song.